Moore.
And I'm Colin Lapp.
And you're listening to
Press Coverage, B2's own American football podcast.
Touchdown!
Hello and welcome to Press Coverage, V2's own American football podcast. We spoke at length last week about the college football season, and of course the first week is now over with, and there's a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of big headlines, and we're going to dive right into that in a second, but first I'll introduce my co-host Jonathan Moore.
Good evening, afternoon, morning, whatever time it is when you're listening. Good weekend, midweek, whatever. Hello.
Yep, that was great, Johnny. Obviously, I know you watched the college season. Did anything stand out to you week one?
Well, I've got to say, I mean, the first game I've got to look at is the one that we built up pretty incredibly to last week. I mean, it was the main focus of last week's show. We obviously had Connor Norman on of the Georgia Bulldogs to talk about it. And we discussed, would it be a shootout? Would it not? Well, it certainly was. And I mean, it was a quality game of football to watch. Pretty much every play seemed to have a genuine moment of quality, a genuine moment of excitement, and it just made for a game that you really couldn't take your eyes off. I mean, as you know, I was trying to watch it in work and I kept getting distracted, so I just stopped watching it so I wouldn't ruin it, and I'm so glad I did that because I missed so much already in the first quarter. But when I went back and watched it, I mean, the touchdowns, first couple, and Sammy Watkins was incredible, but the main man the night was Taj Boyd, and I mean, he's been considered as one of the top quarterbacks for a long, long time, but I think maybe after that performance on Sunday, people are now seeing that he could well be a serious contender for the Heisman Trophy at the end of the season. But we'll see. That Clemson offense is remarkable. There's not a better offense to watch, I wouldn't say. You've got Boyd there, you've also got Watkins, and also Rodger McDowell. A lot was said about him. Could he replace Andre Ellington? Well, I think on the basis of Sunday, was it Sunday? It was Saturday. It was Saturday night. I think he looked more than adequate. He looked pretty good. But just the game all round, you really didn't know what way it was going to go. Teams were coming back. Aaron Murray, he had a decent game as well, though he did get sacked a few times. Again, the Clemson defense showing that it was up to the job. But I think Clemson really came out of that game looking strong. They'd maybe had a few doubters that thought they maybe couldn't have gone all the way. But I think after that, is if they keep that sort of performance up, that was against another genuine contender. I don't see why they couldn't go all the way, because they look really good right across the board.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, and as you said, it actually was Saturday. You can go for, I suppose it's a Saturday-Sunday argument, but it was technically 1 a.m, so it was Sunday here, so you were right. That's the main thing. But I think Clemson, as you say, plays really well. Taj Boyd, you know, by his standards, his stats weren't amazing, but I think it was the little things he showed, the leadership qualities, just the toughness. There was a few times that he should have taken sacks, really. If it was any other quarterback, I think they would have been down in the ground. But he just has this escapability about him where, I don't know how he does it, but he just has a really good feel for the game. And he just steps up in the pocket, and he goes from what could have been a 5 or 6 yard loss to a couple of yards gain. So I think that's definitely something that, you know, he's improved on. As well as that, he's definitely lost a bit of weight from last season. Not that he necessarily had to, but he obviously thinks it's going to help his game. And on the basis of that game against Georgia, when you consider, you know, their defence is just covered, just littered with athletes, Taj Boyd was outrunning them from the quarterback position, so I definitely think that's helped him. I'll admit, Aaron Murray, the Georgia quarterback, for, I believe, a fifth-year senior, was a wee bit disappointed. I mean, it's not that he had a terrible game, but once again, he's failed to show that he can do it against the big boys. You know, for someone that's rated as one of the top quarterbacks in college football, I think you have to be putting up better stats. And when you look at, for instance, that battle between Aaron Murray and Taj Boyd, although quarterbacks can't really battle each other, Taj Boyd stepped up, stood out. Fair enough, home game at Death Valley, you know, it was more likely. But I don't think Aaron Murray did himself any favours. And the one other issue for Georgia that I just saw online about an hour ago, Malcolm Mitchell, probably their top wide receiver, tore his ACL, or anterior cruciate ligament, celebrating a Georgia touchdown. So that's their top wide receiver out for the season. So it's a bit of a double whammy, losing a game against decent rivals and then one of your top players out for the entire year. But it'll be interesting next week. I mean, Clemson, I think, like you say, can be national championship contenders. I think if you can beat Georgia, you can beat anyone, maybe, you know, to get to that point in the national championship. But Georgia, They're hosting South Carolina next week, and of course, on Thursday night, South Carolina beat their rivals North Carolina. So it's a big one for Georgia, because Mark Richt is always under pressure there. Until he wins a national championship, he probably will be. And yeah, I mean, if he loses games 2 weeks in a row up in Athens, it's going to be tense for them anyway.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I mean, you sort of produced a little link there that can take us on to the opening game of the college season, which was, of course, last Thursday night into the early hours of Friday morning, or the very late early hours, if you can make sense out of that, of Friday morning, because, well, I missed the end of it anyway after the weather situation, but thankfully I didn't miss any scoring. But I thought it was a pretty decent opener, 27-10 it was, South Carolina. They did have a couple of scares along the way to their victory, but when you're sitting watching it, you sort of knew they were going to win. I mean, only North Carolina sort of came back in the sort of middle stage of the game, but they never really looked like they had it in them to go on and take the victory. South Carolina always looked pretty comfortable. Obviously, both of their quarterbacks, Connor Shaw, Dylan Thompson, threw long scoring passes. First pass of the game, passing play, went for a touchdown. So that all made for entertainment. But the one player I was pretty disappointed in, as I'm sure a lot of people maybe were, was Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, he's been so good his time in college football so far. Considered by most anyway to be the number one pick next year, also depending what team get there. But he just didn't really show up. I mean, I know I've heard that maybe he was unwell or injured or whatever, but he just never really looked up to the pace. I mean, as much as I enjoyed watching the game, that sort of took away a wee bit for me, because I was really looking forward to seeing just how good he was going to be. First game of the new season, he just sort of huffed and puffed his way around. He never really got near the opposition quarterback. He never really made much of an impact. But first game of the season, South Carolina got through the game, they won the game. That's all they'll really be concerned about just now, and Clowney has the whole rest of the season to show what he can do all over again.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree that it was disappointing. Clowney didn't really show why he's what people are saying is like a once, you know, in a decade talent or whatever. But I suppose when you're on the defensive line as well, I mean, it's a lot easier to stand out as a quarterback or a wide receiver or even a linebacker if you're an elite talent, but it is a defensive lineman, simply because when you play in the trenches, it can be quite, you know, it's quite nasty in there. Guys will be cutting you, doing all different things. And I think we saw, I'm not sure when it was, but I think it was Matt Miller that retweeted it, a draft scout. It was just a sort of image of Jadeveon Clowney getting cut from behind for absolutely, I mean, it was a meaningless move. It was just a dirty play. And I'm not sure when that happened. So if it happened early in the game, I'm not sure if it could have affected his performance. But if it happened later, then I suppose there was no excuse. A lot of people are saying that, you know, the entire South Carolina team was gassed by the end, which I know they kept talking in the Clemson-Georgia game. Obviously, that's also in South Carolina, about there being unusually high temperatures at this time of year. So, you know, I'm not an athlete, so I don't feel right commenting on whether or not that should make a big impact. But he did seem weirdly tired. And I suppose if I was 6'6 and weighed as much as he did and I was getting triple or double teamed every game, every move, then maybe I'd feel the same way. But it was definitely, you know, I was expecting to watch him and see him get two or three sacks and really just light the place up. So I was definitely a wee bit disappointed. But I think overall, as you say, the game was never really in doubt. I suppose North Carolina made a little bit of a push, but at no point, I just didn't think they looked explosive enough. I think if you're going to come back in a game like that, you need to look at a team and think, yeah, I think they could put up a couple of scores in a hurry. Just didn't see that with North Carolina. And I think South Carolina, it's easy to sort of say, yeah, they're onto something now, but I think that first game was pretty easy for them early on. I think they won the game pretty early. So it'll be interesting to see what they can do against maybe, you know, better competition.
And then, one of the other games we already sort of made a mention about, I think you did anyway, was the Ole Miss game. I mean, what were you impressed by all the freshmen there for the Ole Miss Rebels?
I certainly was. I mean, that game, to be honest, it sort of slipped under the radar a wee bit in the grand scheme of things, because obviously it fell immediately after the opening game of the season, and obviously teams like Alabama and of course that Georgia-Clemson game has dominated things. But in my view, that game just it stole the show as far as the weekend went. Perhaps there wasn't the same quality that was on show in the Georgia-Clemson game with these two top contenders, but my goodness, the excitement was there. Literally, you did not know until the players walked off at the end what team was going to win. It was just play after play after play, and then you saw the celebrations when Vanderbilt got that, what was a last minute touchdown. Fans went wild, the players went wild, and I think everyone pretty much thought, alright, that's that one done and dusted. And then straight up the other end, Jeff Scott ran 75 yards over the line and decided to take the victory for Ole Miss, much to Vanderbilt's disappointment. But the one player that really stood out for me was Jordan Matthews all game. There wasn't a lot that he did wrong. He did pretty much everything right in that game, even right up until the last minute. I mean, there was an agonising moment where he got a long pass thrown to him. He went up for it and he was so close to getting there. And had he caught that, who knows, maybe the game would have gone the other way. But he's a senior. He's going into the draft next year and he should be a first-round pick going in performances like that. Laquon Treadwell, another young man, was absolutely fantastic. So many freshmen on there. Defensive end, Robert Kondisha, he was excellent as well. I mean, the number one consensus player coming out of high school last year, and my goodness, he showed it. He got in amongst everything. he looks the real deal. I mean, obviously, it's easy to say that after one brilliant performance in one game. Obviously, he's got years to show what he can do, but you can certainly see why he was the number one consensus player. He had an absolute stormer of a game. I think it was a game, certainly, looking at freshmen all round, that certainly got the job done. They all really impressed. I mean, you obviously get teams maybe worried about losing loads of players and having to bring in so many young players. But I think Ole Miss's freshmen looked pretty impressive. Even Vanderbilt's young guys impressed me as well. So I think both of those teams could put up a pretty good fight this season. They obviously won't go all the way or anything like that, but I think they were both pretty entertaining to watch and I look forward to seeing them again.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I think Ole Miss, Hugh Freeze, the head coach there, he seems to have just a knack for getting really good recruits this last year or two, and it's a little bit surprising because obviously in the SEC you don't really consider Ole Miss to be amongst the sort of top contenders, but on the basis of that performance I think they can give anyone a game. I know they ran LSU very close last year, and that was in Death Valley in that really hostile atmosphere, so I expected them to actually put away Vanderbilt a little bit easier than they did, which I know a lot of people didn't expect that actually, but for some reason I did. But you know, Vanderbilt, considering they're a young team and they had a brand new quarterback, a pretty much, you know, a whole new offense, I thought the way they came back, I think it was 21, what, 3 touchdowns unanswered in the second quarter, they just sort of stormed back, and I was pretty shocked by it at the time. And as you say, Jordan Matthews, he was unbelievable. I mean, there was one point, obviously, where I think he started vomiting on the field, had taken a big hit, sort of right in the chest or sternum area, went down. I just thought, oh, he's off, you know, and he came back 2 minutes later, and he made a huge play in 4th and 18 or something like that. And I just couldn't, first of all, I couldn't believe he was allowed back in the field, but to come back on and, you know, get that, it was incredible. And I was gutted for him when he missed a catch at the very end and went off crying. After a game like that, you don't really want to see that with a star player. But as you say, I think it was a statement win. I think it's more important to win tight games like that on the road than it is to win a blowout. So I think it will bode well for Ole Miss. But I also think Vanderbilt can take a lot of positive notes from it, because Ole Miss are a good team and they ran them very close. So I think both teams should be pretty happy actually with their performances.
Yeah, I think where Vanderbilt will be extremely disappointed though, as you look, they conceded 29 points in that second half alone, and that's really not going to go down well. So they gave up far too much, and as you mentioned there about Matthews, I mean, I'm still surprised that they let him back on, especially with the NFL. Certainly the whole world of football has been talking at length now, for certainly since the off-season, at length about concussion issues. So you saw a guy going off at that, vomiting, etc., not looking quite there at that moment. To let him on so quickly caused a bit of a stir, and it'll be interesting to see what or if we ever find out what actually was wrong with them, because to let a player back on in this current climate, it clearly was struggling at that point. Maybe a bit dodgy, but thankfully it certainly didn't seem to affect him too much, or if at all, seem still there right to the end. But a surprising decision to let him on so quickly anyway.
Absolutely, and I think one last game I'll mention, simply because we've spoken to some players from SMU before, and of course that was Margus Hunt now with the Bengals. I mean, I don't know if you caught the game at all or if you've seen the score. Texas Tech have new head coach Cliff Kingsbury, of course Johnny Manziel's mentor last year, and his first head coaching gig. He's only 34 years old, so very, very young for a head coach, but they managed to get a pretty conclusive win on the road against SMU. I mean, what did you think about the sort of result there? Any shocks?
The result in the end surprised me a wee bit in terms of the gap, because it was such a close fought game. I mean, it was, I think after the third quarter finished or something, it was 2016, if I'm right, was that score? And then all of a sudden they just came out the traps and ended up winning 41-23. So
yeah, they had quite a big fourth quarter.
It certainly was. I mean, obviously SMU, a good bit of interest there because of Margus Hunt. But I think the turning point in that game, if you ask me, was right at the end of the first half when Mayfield made that pass to Jordan Davis. And another, well, we've talked a lot about freshmen about the last game. There's another one, Jordan Davis there. Mayfield, rather, the freshman, got the ball to Davis, and he just somehow managed to squeeze through before the safety got there, and that was it. I think when that score, that play was made, I think the fire was lit for the game to go in that way, in the favour of the Red Raiders there. But SMU, I think they came out the game, they'll be disappointed the way they lost it in the fourth quarter. I think their quarterback, Garrett Gilbert, had a pretty good game, although he certainly wasn't to blame. He did his bit, 441 yards in there, I believe. Good touchdown run as well. He wasn't at fault at all. He'll come out of that game pretty blameless. He'll be happy with his own performance. But SMU, there's work to do there. They, as I said, they'll be disappointed the way they lost it, but as long as they can just batten the hatches down and avoid a disastrous end to the game like that, which it was for them this time round, I think they'll have a pretty decent season. Obviously, they're now missing the likes of Margus Hunt. Losing a guy like that's going to be big, but I suppose every college team loses quality players every year, and they always seem to bring some through. So I'll be interested to see how SMU do this year.
Yeah, and I think it also stood out to me, Texas Tech had, although I think it was technically a home game for SMU, Texas Tech had a weird amount of fans there. I'm not sure if it actually was maybe a neutral stadium, but it seemed like there were so many Texas Tech fans. So I don't think SMU will have to put up with that much this season when it's considered a home game. So I think we'll definitely step it up. But obviously, college football is great and all. Obviously, in the States, it's huge. But here, there will be probably a bigger interest in the NFL. And as we all know, Thursday night, or technically Friday morning, we're going to have the first game. So are you looking forward to the NFL season? I mean, are you ready for it?
I don't know if you quite can be ready for it. I mean, my excitement levels are high enough at the start of the college season, but I think I'm about to explode the thought of the NFL coming back. And the first game, you really couldn't put two more evenly matched teams together. And it's just a dream scenario, because in my opinion, it will be this year's Super Bowl champions against the next Super Bowl champions. Obviously, nobody's going to run with that angle yet, because we've got a long way to go to find out if that is actually the case. But as we've talked about, the Broncos, pretty much, it's going to be Super Bowl or bust for them, and they are certainly going to want to come out of the traps against the Baltimore Ravens and just prove that they can be that team that are going to go and win the Super Bowl. And what better way to do that than come up against the current champions, the current holders of the famous trophy. So it's going to be an interesting game. The Denver Broncos, obviously, they've got Peyton Manning there. He can win games on his own. But obviously they've now got the like they've got Wes Welker in there as well. It's going to be intriguing to see how he does in his first competitive game. And then you've got the Broncos, of course, who've made the Ravens, I should say rather, who've made so many changes, and I'm really looking forward to seeing them with our new look team. They've changed that whole team from last year. The veterans, the Lewises, the Reeds, they've all departed. We've got these new players coming in now. They've got Elvis Dumerville, guys like that. They've got our new draftees. So I'm really excited to see how this new Ravens team plays. I don't think it's going to be much different to what we saw last year. The coaching staff will probably have drilled the exact same mentality into them. But this game, it's a tough one to predict. I mean, I know we're going to do a bit of predictions later, but just looking at this one on paper, it's a very even matchup, and it really should make for a very exciting game. Although, you look at the records, and since, I think, sort of the mid-last decade, 2004 sort of time, I think only one Super Bowl winning team has lost the opening game the season after, and that was the New York Giants last time around. And I think that sort of normality will resume this year, and I think the Ravens will probably edge this game out. But the Broncos, if they want a loss, if there's a loss going to happen somewhere, they'll probably hope it's going to come pretty quickly, and then I think they'll dominate pretty much the rest of the season and go into the Super Bowl and win it, as I've been saying all off season.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree. It's going to be an interesting game just to see two contenders, how they've changed. You know, the Ravens in particular have made tons of changes, but, you know, you could be forgiven for saying they've actually gotten better. So it's going to be interesting to see how they perform. For a game, I suppose, Mile High Stadium, you know, biggest game, opening game of the year. I think the Ravens have the experience to cope with the atmosphere, but at the same time, you can't ignore the fact they don't have guys like Ray Lewis, they don't have any more Ed Reed, you know, and they're the sort of people that are good in that kind of environment. So it'll be interesting to see the younger guys. For instance, they drafted Matt Elam to replace Ed Reed. They get rid of Ellerby as well and Ray Lewis, so the linebacking core is going to have a big shake-up. And, you know, that many changes both up front and in the secondary on the defence against Peyton Manning, and, you know, that's quite a difficult task to try and sort of stop him when you've got new guys in there. And as well as that, I think the Broncos add in Wes Welker. Can the Ravens cover Wes Welker, Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker and company? I'll be interested to see that there, because the Ravens are one of those teams that they're not really flashy, they're not very, you know, you sort of, what you see is what you get, but at the same time, I think Flacco could sort of pick apart the Broncos defence as well, so I actually think this could be quite a high scoring game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure sort of how much of a shootout it'll be. I think the Ravens will probably win. And not comfortably, because the game certainly will be comfortable for them, but I certainly see them maybe taking a couple of touchdowns, maybe a field goal as well on top of that. I see them maybe winning by certainly double-figure points. But I think the game, there's going to be a lot of scoring. It's going to be a game that's pretty easy in the eye, unless, of course, you're a fan of one of these teams. Certainly from a neutral perspective, it's going to be very entertaining, and I'm certainly looking forward to seeing it on Thursday night / Friday morning.
Yeah, in fact, I'm bringing it up right now on NFL.com, the entire schedule. I might as well go through it in order. So, yeah, let's make it official. So, who are you going for, Ravens or Broncos?
In this game, it's got to be the Ravens.
Right, so that's locked in. I'm going to go for the opposite. I'm going to go for the Broncos. I just think just the revenge factor, and also just the Peyton Manning first game of the season against a pretty new secondary for the Ravens in terms of the little pieces that have been added and taken away. So, yeah, but to be honest, the Ravens, I could definitely see them winning again. They just have that sort of easy mentality where, you know, they'll go anywhere and just give someone a game. But I don't think Broncos should be 9 or 10 point favourites, because I think that's what they are, according to the bookies. But at the same time, I think they'll just do enough. No more than one score, but no more, yeah.
This certainly wouldn't be a game I'd be betting on, put it that way. Of all the games that you look at, there's obviously a few that are really tricky, certainly trickier than the rest to call, but that one in particular, I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole, to use
well,
the
you see that, but what's actually interesting is, out of every game in week one, the Broncos are bigger favourites than any other team, which I find quite surprising considering they're facing the Super Bowl champions.
So, I mean, they're such a strong outfit though, but I think the Ravens have been somewhat I think too many people have viewed the fact that they've lost a lot of these players. I think a lot of people, some analysts included, have decided that they've written them off pretty early here because it's such a new team in terms of what they have, and I think that's totally wrong. As I said, I think they will win this game. I said in terms of the way the game will go, it won't be comfortable for them, they'll be pushed all the way, but I see them coming out at the end of that game with a victory by a touchdown or two.
We'll see. I mean, that's definitely, I think a lot of people see them, the Ravens keeping it a lot closer than what a lot of people say, so it will definitely be of interest. So the next game here, interestingly, it's trying to tell me what network it's going to be shown on America, but it's just an eyeball, so I can't actually, I don't know what network that is. But anyway, yeah, it's the Patriots at the Bills. For me, it's just, you know, irrespective of what's happened with the Patriots, I see no other result than the Patriots running over the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, the last one we could talk at length about how the game was going to go, what we view. I mean, with all due respect to the Buffalo Bills, I mean, there's no real point in doing that this time around because it's going to be, well, this is probably going to be a bit of a walkover this game. Buffalo Bills, I mean, obviously, it's been well documented, the changes they've made, highlighted by their first round draft pick, E.J. Manuel. But they've also, if you've not heard the devastating news, the friend of the show, Keith Pugh, was actually cut. So that was very disappointing. Hopefully he pops up at another NFL team soon. But to get back to the game, there's just, Tom Brady will probably rip them apart. I think in terms of offensive plays, this game has the making of being quite an entertaining one, because obviously you've got guys like CJ Spiller out there, Steve Johnson as well. But I just, there's no way this isn't going to go the way of the New England Patriots, as you said yourself.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I'm always scared to say that it's going to be a blowout, but I can see the Patriots by at least 20. Next game listed here, one that I'm actually quite interested by, it's the Tennessee Titans playing away at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, we already spoke about the fact a lot of people are expecting a Steelers decline, and I suppose I'll go for the upset here, but I actually think the Titans, I'm sort of scared to go for it, but I'll say the Titans will win. You know, my head's telling me the Steelers, but just for some reason, just a gut feeling, I think the Titans are just going to pull it out of the bag. I think that front seven for the Steelers isn't quite as sort of sturdy as it was before. And just based solely on pre-season, which I know, you know, is much maligned, but Chris Johnson has, you know, he looked really good. And I think he's got something to prove this year. And I think the Titans could have a big running game against the Steelers, which it will go one way or the other. Either the Steelers will completely shut down the run game, or Chris Johnson's going to go off, you know, for a huge game. But I think the Titans, I think it will be a low-scoring game, maybe 17-14 to the Titans or something like that.
Yeah, I certainly totally agree with that point. This one, it's going to be low-scoring and it's going to be very close indeed. You mentioned maybe Chris Johnson has something to prove this year. As we talked about, I think, on last week's show, Jake Locker, the quarterback, he probably has more to prove than anyone in that team this year, so he'll be up for it. But I think, as I've said before, the Steelers, although they, by last season they had a miserable season by their standards, not even getting out of that division. But they're one of these teams that always seem to somehow, other than last season of course, get the job done. Even when they look pretty doomed down and out at times, they always seem to get the job done. And I think that'll be the way this game will go. I think we'll probably see the running games you mentioned, Tennessee, they'll be battering them with that. But I think the Steelers will weather the storm. And in a low-scoring game, probably a score similar to the one you mentioned. Field goal probably secure the victory this time round. But I think the Steelers will just edge this one. I think we'll probably do that for most of the season. I can't see them not getting the playoffs this year. And just to a wee aside, I was really surprised to see them release Jonathan Dwyer this year. I mean, he was their best player in the running game. I just can't believe that they released him, but they've obviously seen something. Maybe someone else is there that they think better option this season. But that'll all pan out. But as far as this game goes, I think it's going to be very, very tight. But as I said, the Steelers are going to edge this one.
Yep, now the next game, along with another game involving the 49ers and Packers we're going to talk about soon, this is actually the game I'm most looking forward to. And it's definitely going to be a good doubleheader on Sunday on Sky Sports. And first game, is the Atlanta Falcons facing the Saints in Louisiana in the Superdome. And I do think that the Saints will pull it off here. A lot of people think the Falcons will win. I think they're just slight underdogs, but I just see the Saints pulling it off simply because first home game of the season, fans will be up for it. Added to the fact that Sean Payton, obviously the head coach, a lot of controversy surrounding him. He's going to be back for the first time, and regardless of what he's been accused of, or supposed, you know, actually proven the two have done or been involved with him, you can't deny that he is a really, really good coach, an offensive genius, a lot of people say. So, an offensive genius working with Drew Brees, I think it'll be a relatively high-scoring game, and the Saints will maybe win by, and I think it's going to be more than the 3 points, maybe, you know, suggested by bookies. I think it's going to be more than the touchdown I've seen a lot of people suggest. I reckon the Saints could actually win this by a surprising amount, at least 15 points, or sorry, 14 points.
As much as I like the Falcons, and I think we'll have a good season this year, I mean, I know you think they're a bit choke artists, we'll probably prove that again at the end of the season, but in terms of regular season, I think they'll be pretty successful, but I don't think it's going to start for them this Sunday. As you said, Sean Payton's back. That'll work, or you'd think it'll work wonders for the Saints in the terms that he'll have them so ready for this game. The atmosphere around the place will be good having them back there. He'll have got them built up, and also the players certainly probably, that makes no sense, they probably won't want to let him down in his first return game. It's been a big story, as you said. He's obviously been accused of things. He's served his ban. Let's let him go on with his job now. I think the Saints will win this one. I don't think it'll be quite the 15 points that you sort of mentioned there. I think it will be closer. I see it may have been a bit more than a field goal, but I think it'll be maybe 7, 10, something like that, points. But for the first time tonight, we actually do have an agreement on a prediction, believe it or not. And as much as I like the Falcons, I can't see them winning this one. Although, as far as their team goes, I mean, Tony Gonzalez, he's there again, and Steven Jackson's now there. So I think the offense is going to be pretty exciting for the Falcons this year. But yeah, not this Sunday.
Yeah, no, it's our second agreement. Remember, we both think the Bills, Buffalo Bills, aren't very good. So which is unfortunate for them. But the next game, talking about unfortunate, it involves the New York Jets and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are visiting them. Playing on the road is always tough, but I can't help but think with Tampa Bay, Revis Island returning to New York, Meadowlands, I think he's going to come out a victor against his old team, because I think the Bucks may be slightly closer than expected, but I think Buccaneers will come out and not a low scoring game, but I reckon they'll win it quite comfortably.
Yeah, well, even though we're now practically there as far as the start of the season goes, I mean, all the talk about the Jets, I still don't remember it being about the game. It's all these off-field issues, and it's irritating. You've obviously still got this quarterback circus going on. Geno Smith had an absolute nightmare a couple of weeks ago in a pre-season game. And then you've got Sanchez, who's injured and all sorts. So it always seems to be the quarterback for New York Jets, and it's getting a bit boring now. I think they signed Brady Quinn as well now, so there's another one to add to the mix. But as far as this game goes, I think it's going to be really, really close. I mean, it's obviously the Darrell Revis Derby match now. I would have quite liked to have seen this from Intelli just for the stories, because you also get Dee Milner getting in there as well, trying to emulate what Revis did. We've talked about that plenty, so I won't talk about it anymore. As far as this game goes, it's going to be pretty tight. I think a lot of the games this weekend are going to be close. This one, I would really like to sit on the fence with this one, in all honesty, but likewise, like you said, it's the Jets, unfortunately. They're still a bit of a circus. They probably always will be. And I think they're going to fall to the Bucks this weekend. Very close game, but it's the Jets, so it's going to be a Bucks win.
Yep, I think a lot of people are suggesting that as well. Next game, not an interesting storyline. Andy Reid's debut as head coach, Alex Smith's debut for the Chiefs at quarterback, and they are travelling to face the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't think I have to tell you my prediction here, because I don't think I'll ever pick them to win. But Kansas City Chiefs, I reckon, will roll here. We'll go into the Jacksonville, face the Jaguars. Don't think we'll hammer them or anything, but I think it'll be a comfortable victory in the end. And I think it'll be a winning start for the new head coach quarterback combo of Andy Reid and Alex Smith.
Well, as enthusiastic as it'll be with the Jaguars, I mean, obviously I'm going to Wembley in October. I'll be there supporting the Jags. So obviously I would like to see them going into that game at a run of form, but that'll be able to come hopefully in the next few weeks, because I think the Chiefs made a lot of changes. Also got a new coach in there, Alex Smith at quarterback. And then you look over at the other side, Jags also have a new coach in Gus Bradley, of course, but what they don't have is a new quarterback, and that is going to be a major Achilles heel for them all season, because they're going to blame Gabbert in there again. As I've said before, I quite like Gabbert simply for ironic reasons, because he's that bad, and I'm fed up with saying that now. The Jags just, they need a change in there more than anything. I mean, I know it's not a one-man team, but you just see quarterbacks are crucial to any team at any time in the game, and I just can't believe they've let this guy come in and start another season. Maybe they see something in them. Well, they clearly do, to give them a chance again. But in terms of this game, I think it could be a thrashing. I think the Chiefs will go out there. They're going to be hyped up. This new team, the new coach, the new quarterback, new players across the line, number one draft pick getting in there as well, Eric Fisher. It's just, I think all signs point towards a pretty solid Chiefs victory here, sadly for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And next up, Super Bowl favourites in the eyes of some. Seattle Seahawks are travelling to Carolina to play Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Here, I think, I can see why some people take a punt on the Panthers, but at the same time, I'll be going for the Seahawks here. I just think we'll have too much, and Seattle got off to a 1-0 start for the 2013 campaign.
Yeah, I mean, this game, when you look at it, it seems to be a division that it's going to be either pretty close, the Panthers put up a fight, or Seahawks will win it comfortably, and, well, we're going to agree on this one again. We're on a roll. It's four in a row, but I do have to agree with you here. Not really much to be said, but the Seahawks, they'll have a successful year this year, and I think, unlike some other teams I've said that about so far, I think that does start for them this Sunday, and we'll come back from Carolina with the victory in the bag.
Yep, and next game I'll let you go first this time, switch it up a bit. The Cincinnati Bengals are travelling to Soldier Field, obviously quite a hostile environment, to play the Chicago Bears for the first competitive game under their new head coach, Jim Trestman. How do you see that one going? Can the Bengals beat the Bears away, or will the Bears hold firm on their home ground?
I think this certainly has the makings of another pretty close game. I mean, obviously, Marcus Hunt is going in there for Cincinnati now, so there's also a bit of interest from this perspective, but the Bengals will be looking to improve on what they did last year. I actually quite like what they've done the off-season. It's going to be another big year for Andy Dalton in there at quarterback. But can they go to Chicago? Can they go and get the victory there? I'm not quite sure. Obviously, they didn't reach their potential last year, the Bears. I think they've got a lot to prove this year. You mentioned there, they've got a new coach in there now. But likewise, I think the offense of Cincinnati is looking pretty good. They've got Tyler Eifert in there now. They've got Gio Bernard in there. That's going to take a lot of stopping. But I'm really sitting the fence. My backside's sore because I've been sitting on it that long trying to waffle before I predict the way this game's going to go. Again, I think the Bengals will do well this season. I think the Bears will put up a decent fight this year as well. This one's going to be close, and I think the Bears will probably prevail in this one.
Yeah, that's my thought too. In fact, this game was a bit like the Titans-Steelers one for me. My gut was telling me, pick the Titans, and I did. And I thought, you know, I was thinking that this time with the Bengals, but something about it, I just don't see it, and I think the Bears, although I think the Bengals overall will have a better season than the Bears, I think the Bears win week one and get off to a good start from our new head coach. But once again, I wouldn't be surprised to see it go either way, really. Next game, Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns. I've got the Cleveland Browns in this. How about you?
Oh, well, again, this is a tough one, but I've been really impressed with the way the Miami Dolphins have built up towards this season. I like what they've done. You know, I've got the likes of Mike Wallace in there. It's a big year for Ryan Tannehill again. the one worry that I certainly mentioned before was obviously that Reggie Bush is gone. Lamar Miller's in there now. Is he the man to fill Reggie Bush's shoes? Can he be the man in terms of running game in the future? And, well, more importantly now, I'm not so sure. But those questions will be answered starting this weekend. As far as this game goes, I'm going to back the Miami Dolphins here. It's going to be tough going to Cleveland, going at the Brown Stadium. But, I see this one being pretty close, but I think the Dolphins are going to have a pretty successful season this year. And I expect them to come away with a well-fought, hard-fought victory from Cleveland this weekend.
Okay, and next one now is Minnesota Vikings versus the Detroit Lions, travelling to Detroit and Ford Field. It's a tough one. I mean, who are you fancying here, Vikings or Lions?
Hey, well, the Vikings, obviously, as we saw back in the draft, I mean, they dominated that first round. They just kept trading and trading and ended up 4 picks all round. I mean, they're looking pretty strong again. Another quarterback with a big year, Christian Ponder, what can he do? That remains to be seen. The Lions, they're a team that flatter to deceive all the time. I mean, they look pretty decent, but yet at the same time, you can see they're pretty average. Also, been trying to see how Ziggy Ansah goes in there and fits in straight off the bat in his rookie year. But I fancy the Vikings to have a strong season this year. I don't think they'll be like Super Bowl contenders yet, but I think they're going to have a pretty solid season. I think it's going to be a pretty solid start season. I expect them to come back from Detroit with a victory here as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those tough ones. A lot of people are going for Detroit, and I can see why, because I think it's going to be a tight game. Simply because Minnesota Vikings are one of my favourite teams, I'm going to pick them anyway, because I would always pick them unless, you know, it was against the 49ers. But I'm not confident in that pick, but I just think Adrian Peterson will do enough to... I was going to say help Christian Ponder. I think Christian Ponder will improve this season, but I think Peterson will just maybe run for, say, 150 yards, do really well in this game, and I think he'll just get them over the finishing line. But once again, it's a close game. And the next one isn't close at all. It's Oakland Raiders at the Indianapolis Colts. And I've got 4 words. Andrew Luck and Indianapolis Colts. So that's pretty much it.
Well, I've got 4 words as well. Worst roster in league. And that certainly doesn't relate to Indianapolis Colts. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if Andrew Luck does indeed improve in what he did last year. It's a remarkable rookie year for him. He's transformed that franchise. I seem to be saying this every game, oh, they're going to have a successful season, but I really do believe that the Colts are going to have a big season. I worry for the Texans, being a Texans fan, because I think they're going to be pretty strong this year. But I mentioned the preview show last week, it seems to be a big, long, drawn-out transitional period for the Raiders. Matt Flynn, at quarterback, to me, just seems like nothing more than a stopgap from maybe bringing in a guy next year. You know, the likes of Taj Boyd or Teddy Bridgewater, a guy like that getting in. I firmly expect that to happen. And again, around the rest of the team, they leave a lot to be desired. I think the Raiders fans should expect another miserable season this year, and it's going to start with this one. There's no way the Colts aren't going to win this game.
Yeah,
I'd agree. Next game, big one, Green Bay Packers at the 49ers. Obviously, it's a homer pick, but I'm always going to go for San Fran. I just think they've played twice in recent times. The 49ers have dominated both games, both home and away. They're a more physical unit, and I don't see what the Packers have done that were so dramatically going to have a change in fortune against the 49ers. Colin Kaepernick, I don't care what anyone says. You can try and solve the read option. When someone's 6'5 and 240 pounds or whatever he is, you're not going to stop him, you know. It's one of those things. They said that after the first game, they couldn't do it the second game. And that was a playoff game for the ages. Kaepernick set a rushing, I think it was just a quarterback rushing record, period. And he never came close to it again the rest of the season. So he obviously enjoys playing against the Packers. And I can't help but think that at home, first game of the season, you know, a pumped up team, pumped up crowd, Jim Harbaugh ready to get off to a great start. I think the 49ers are going to win. And I don't see how all of a sudden the Packers are going to have a better, you know, better chance.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it's obviously two heavyweights of the game clashing spoiled this weekend, and I'm really looking forward to this one, but I don't think it's going to be as close as has been touted around quite often. I think the 49ers will probably win this one quite comfortably, actually. The Packers, the off-season, I wasn't really overly impressed with what they did, in all honesty. I mean, obviously, you've got guys like Jordy Nelson in there, Randall Cobb, but you won't get better receivers than that. And, well, behind them, so thrown to them is the man himself, Aaron Rodgers, so he can win games on his own, pretty much. But it's, I think one major problem is going to be the offensive line for the Packers. I mean, they've got a guy in there, a rookie, I think, was picked in the fourth round. Bakhtiari's in there. You've got an undrafted tackle as well, getting into his second year. So I think that's a bit of a worry in terms of protection. But I think the 49ers, I wouldn't be surprised to see them blitz through the regular season, comfortably win in the playoffs, and make a real charge for the Super Bowl yet again, because they're the strongest they have been for a while. Obviously, they're now missing Michael Crabtree, which you can't deny is going to be a major loss, one of the top receivers in the game. But they've got guys like Bolden in now. I think they've probably got enough there to see them through. And obviously, Kaepernick, a quarterback, is probably just going to keep getting better. I think this weekend we're going to see a pretty comfortable 49ers victory in the end.
I hope so anyway, that would be a lovely start. But next game, also involving two NFC West teams this time, Arizona Cardinals at the St. Louis Rams. I just think at home that the Rams are going to win. I know your little friend Tavon Austin, yeah, I was right, I was wrong there, but he's going to be making his debut, and I think Tavon Austin will be an exciting player to watch for the first time. And I just don't see how the Cardinals match up well with the Rams. Carson Palmer would have to play out his mind, and against that pass rush of the Rams, I just don't see it. So, yeah, I've got the Rams by a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, Tavon Austin, when we did the shows all the way back in the draft time, hard to believe that's about, 6 months ago now already. But he certainly was the player that excited me the most, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how he adapts into life in the NFL. He's going to be a very exciting player to watch. The Cardinals, I don't think, will really match up against many teams this time round, because they look pretty poor in all honesty. Obviously, they've got Larry Fitzgerald in there. Carson Palmer leaves a lot to be desired, although the Cardinals seem to like their veteran quarterbacks, as we've seen in the past. But not much more to be said for this one, really. Likewise, I think home advantage, that obviously won't be enough. We'll need to play the game, obviously. I hate that cliche, but home advantage, sorry, that'll help see them through, and I really don't see any other result come from this game other than a relatively comfortable victory for the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, well, I think most people think this next game will be more competitive. The New York Giants and a big NFC East tilt against the Dallas Cowboys. Once again, Giants travelling to Jerry World, where I believe a record is 4-1, so they obviously seem to dominate on the road and struggle more against the Cowboys at home, which is a little bit strange of late. But it's a tough one because Eli Manning looked pretty bad in pre-season, but I reckon the Giants will win again in Jerry World, go 5-1 over the last couple of seasons, and just, yeah, it's a tough one. I think it's going to be close, and I know why the Cowboys are actually the favourites here, and I can see why, because I do think Tony Romo will have a decent year, but I don't know why, but just gut's telling me Giants are going to win.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one that I'd happily sit in the fence and not bother saying anything about, but it's going to be, I can see us being quite low scoring again. It's going to be very, very tightly fought out, I think. Quite a tactical game I see on the horizon. Eli Manning, he's going to have to pick up his game, as he said. Not the best of pre-seasons, obviously. The main players don't play that much in pre-season, but what he did, he didn't really look great. Tony Romo, big year for him. We say that every year pretty much for him, the Cowboys, and they just seem to fail to deliver year after year. So it's going to be interesting, this one. Two teams that certainly last season didn't live up at all to what they should be able to do. So both of them will be really, really eager to get off to a good start this weekend. I'm going to differ with you here. I think the Cowboys will edge this one. It's obviously that the fans aren't the most exciting in the NFL, atmosphere-wise. Sorry, Cowboys fans or anything like that. But I just think that It's a really difficult one, this one to predict. Probably the most difficult there. But I do see the Cowboys just edging this one, and I mean just edging it.
Yeah, well, as you say, it's going to be close. I think that game is the Sunday night game on Channel 4, so even though it's not involving a team I support as such, I think I might need to just try and stay up if I can, keep my eyes open, because I think it'll be an interesting game. Start of Monday night football. Obviously, we've got a double header there. First part of that is the Philadelphia Eagles, new era, hopefully, for them anyway, under Chip Kelly. They'll be travelling to face the Redskins and RG3, who is expected to start week one, which is obviously would have been quite a surprise if you told people that months ago. But, yeah, Eagles at Redskins. I'm sort of confused with this one, actually. I really don't know. I'm actually going to go for the sort of slight upset. I'm going to say that the Eagles are going to win away at the Redskins. I just think I don't know enough about RG3 and how much, you know, ring rust is going to be. I mean, I think if he's fully healthy, they'll come in and they'll win the game. But I just think after an injury like that, it'll take him a few weeks to really get mentally, you know, mentally comfortable in his environment. And I just think the Eagles, first game under Chip Kelly, will have a little skip in their step and just win it. But I'm not sure. I think this could be quite a low-scoring game as well. I'm thinking something like maybe, once again, 17-14 Eagles.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Eagles this year, because obviously Chip Kelly's getting there from Oregon. It's everyone expected a new-look team, a pretty up-tempo offense, and that's certainly what they're going to give the Redskins on, well, Monday night it is, yeah, the Monday night game. I mean, obviously, in terms of Monday night game, let's hope we get a broadcaster first so we can see them, but after that, it's been put out of the way. You took the words right out of my mouth, in all honesty. That the Robert Griffin III, RG3, I think this game, perhaps, although, as I said earlier, it's not a one-man game, it's not just all about the quarterbacks, but when you've got a quarterback as good as that, so much depends on them being able to perform. And RG3 starting week one, I can't believe I'm sitting here saying that after the injury sustained, but it certainly looks that way as we speak just now. He's going to be in there. Is he ready? It's difficult to say just now. Also have to wait and see when he comes out in the field Monday night, how rusty he is, how ready he is, has that injury completely gone, how mentally prepared is he? That all these questions will be answered hopefully on Monday night. But this one, in terms of prediction, it's going to be close. I don't think it'll be as low scoring as perhaps as you mentioned there. I think there may be another touchdown or two in it. I have to take the score into the 20s. But, it's a tough one again. I'm really going to sit on the fence here, because I think if RG3 plays the way we know he can, I'll be predicting the Redskins. But I don't think he is going to. I think it's going to take him maybe until at least week 3, week 4 to really find his feet once again, no pun intended. And also, I think the Eagles, they're looking pretty strong, and I think it'll be a pretty decent scalp for Chip Kelly to go to Redskins and come away with the victory. As I said, a fully fit RG3, I'd probably be able to pick the Redskins the same amount of times I can click my fingers. But in this instance, I'm going to agree, I'm going to say we're going to get the upset here with the Eagles winning.
Yeah, that's another one. I think, as you say, once we find a broadcaster, we'll definitely be watching that. A little bit more time-friendly than the usual Monday night games, because it is a doubleheader. Starts at midnight, I think, so not awful, but the second one is also quite an interesting game, and it involves your team, the Houston Texans, travelling to the San Diego Chargers. Some people seem to think the Chargers have got a great chance here. In my opinion, Texans will run with it. Quite simply, I don't think the Chargers are good enough. I think Philip Rivers makes too many mistakes. I don't think he has the targets to challenge a Texan secondary, which I do think may be a little bit more vulnerable, especially with Ed Reed not fit. But I don't think Philip Rivers will be able to exploit that. I also think that Arian Foster and Ben Tate, even if Foster is banged up a bit, I think they're going to run all over the Chargers. And it's not going to be an exciting game, I don't think, but for you it will be, because I think the Texans will win comfortably.
Yeah, well, I first of all just want to say a big non-thank you to the schedulers for putting this game on a Monday night as late as possible. The Texans, my team, I want to see them first week, but yet I'll have to stay up till some ludicrous hour, what about 6 o'clock in the morning or something, to get through the whole game.
Neither 7.
Oh, great. So as much as I love the Texans and I want to see their opening game, there's probably not much of a chance it's happening. But as far as the game goes, the Chargers, again, like you said, Rivers, I still don't get why so many people seem to think he's this superb quarterback, because he's error-prone. You mentioned the secondary. I think the linebacker position in some areas in the Texans is still a bit suspect. I'd like to see them maybe strengthen a bit more there the off-season, but we can hopefully worry about that next year round. I'd quite like to see Arthur Brown come in there, but he gets snagged away before Texans can get in there. That's draft talk. That's a long time ago. Just me getting it out there. But the linebacker situation, I think teams will exploit that. I think they will exploit the secondary as long as Reed isn't fit or even up to full fitness. He's also a veteran, so we need him to be in tip-top shape, as tip-top as he can be. But despite those worries that I have, I'm glad that it's a team like the Chargers that flattered to deceive that the Texans are up against this weekend, because I think it gives the Texans a chance to go on the road and put in a convincing display and come back to Houston, I don't live in Houston, go back to Houston with lots of confidence, having scored a good few touchdowns, and hopefully DeAndre Hopkins gets off the mark pretty quickly as well. It's good to see him. Clemson game on Saturday night got me all excited about seeing him in a Texans jersey in a competitive game. That's just around the corner. I'm really excited about what this season has to offer. Texans will win this game, and because Jeff Reinbold is the American football messiah, I'm going to really look forward to his appearing in the Super Bowl next year, as Jeff predicted.
Yeah, well, I think if he's right, then you're going to be having a party, but I think that's a good way to end the college football review and our preview of week one of the NFL. As you say, it's a really exciting time, the season about to begin. I'm really sort of intrigued by a lot of these matchups, and I can't actually, although I've made the predictions, it's actually quite hard to split some of them, so I think this time next week we'll be sitting probably looking at early Super Bowl contenders, early contenders to win their divisions, and obviously there's always going to be a few shocks, so definitely can't wait to see what happens there. I'll also point out, although we won't see this, people won't hear this until afterwards, but Florida State Pittsburgh tonight, Jameis Winston, college football, highly touted quarterback, someone that's meant to be an elite talent at the college level, starting for the first time, so suppose we can talk about that in the next show too. I think he's going to create some headlines, so watch out for him in future weeks, but all that's left to be said from me is goodbye, and I'll hand you over to Johnny to do his thing.
Yeah, so just one more thing before we go. Don't forget the Twitter accounts. You can get us at PressCoverageV2, at CLAMP Sport, and at Jonathan J. Moore. Enjoy first week of the NFL season. I know I certainly will, so it's goodbye from me as well. Touchdown!